First of all, I'd like to say happy Sabbath to all of you here at English Oaks Church. And I want to say what a privilege it is to be sharing your pulpit. You know, your pastors and I go way back, actually. I remember being a young seminarian, and Pastor Scott met him in seminary in Bering Springs, Michigan. In the wild of Michigan's, he was this big, buff youth pastor guy in training, and I looked up to him, and he was so cool. It's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of ministry. He's just pumping iron with his Bibles, and he was just, I'm just kidding. I love you, Scott. You're awesome. Shaking his head. And then coming to Northern California Conference and be able to meet Pastor Brent Brissett at camp meeting. As a young pastor, they draft you into camp meeting, and you are captivated by camp meeting for as long as they have you. And I remember Brent was an encouragement. I was there with another young guy in ministry, and we had awesome opportunities to kind of eat snacks late at night and talk about God, and it was just really cool. You're a great preacher and friend, and so it's a privilege to share Lodi with the two of you and with my associate, Pastor Kraft, and also our Spanish pastor, Victor Medina. Madera, excuse me. And now for you. I have to tell you, it is a deep honor and a privilege, and I'm touched that you invited me to be your speaker here today. We go way back, and after last night, I thought I'd bring this, just in case. So we'll pass around. You probably won't need it. I don't cry. But anyway, I spent some quality time looking over this wonderful yearbook. And I have to say to Daniela and Shannon and all your yearbook team, this is an awesome book. And I took some time, read your class text, looked at all your pictures, and read all your quotes. And I have to say, I am so proud of you. You're all grown up. I've spent a little more time, though, with this book. Some of you may remember it. Huh? Yeah? I have a picture to show you here today. If I was more technological savvy, I would have gotten it to your AV guys, but I didn't. But remember this? Huh? Yes. All of you with your little grade graduation. See, it's eighth grade grad. And the thing that touched me about this book is that was the first encounter that I had with you, coming back, some old school memories. I remember a week of prayer, and the theme, I think it was, God is our friend, so we could be friends with each other. And we had some good texts and some little video clips and some fun things going on. And then after a week of prayer, there was the starting of the baptismal studies. I think it was Jared and Jolene and Elizabeth, the three of you in that class that I taught. And Jared, man, you have grown up to be a man of God, a mighty man of valor, and here you are today with your other classmates of value. I remember the Leone Meadows 8th grade trip with Mr. Brown and the crew. Oh, there you are. I remember coming up with you, and I remember there was this one particular game that we had where all of you were blindfolded that went on that trip. And you had a rope. Remember the rope? And you were trying to stay connected to that rope. And the rope symbolized being connected, I guess, to the Holy Spirit. And you're on your way to heaven all through Leone's dorm downstairs. And people are trying to get you off track and distract you. And Mr. Brown had asked me to be the voice of Jesus. I'm like, wow, I've never played Jesus before. I've played the devil before in drama, but never Jesus. And that's so holy, so I had to get my holy voice on. Follow the sound of my voice. And you guys, I think many of you, did you all make it to heaven? I think most of you did. I hope you did. Well, at least I know you're going to heaven. We're going to get you there, right? Amen, church? All right, amen. I remember seeing some of you in some skits up there that you put on together. And then some of you were assigned to my Get Going for God group. Remember that? Should we play the video? No, we don't have it here today. But remember that, Star? You made that video. What was it? Temptation Fugitive on the life of Joseph. And you guys had, that was cool. Remember Mrs. Potiphar and Joseph and the little first graders that you had build the pyramids and stuff. It was kind of fun. It was kind of fun. And then I remember Doug, when we decided, hey, let's have a social with the eighth grade coming into academy and with the academy. And we took most of you to broom ball. Remember your first broom ball experience? Some of you do. We piled in a bus and went down there. And the only problem was that most, and it wasn't a big problem, but it was just overcrowding because the eighth grade was there and the academy was there for the first time. And then a bunch of the young adults were there. And so we had eighth grade all the way through college all descending upon Oak Park Ice Arena, and you guys couldn't even play. There were so many people on the ice. It was havoc and ice and a ball. But I remember that. And I remember graduation, the Galt Fun Center afterwards. But then these memories don't apply to some of you because you came in academy. So let's move on of how you were connected in academy. Some of the memories I remember were the Lodi City Youth Rallies that were put on at Hutchins and at the other church, and then here at English Oaks, even though I missed that one. I remember the YWAM trip, the Brazil trip, the Arizona trip. And for those of you that went on the Arizona trip, do you remember that crazy van ride that we had in Mr. Heffel's van? And the videos and the songs, and I think Uwa was Mowgli, weren't you? Yeah, man. And the Speed Racer adaptation, it was a lot of fun, but weird. But I remember that. I remember drama and being your co-drama teacher with Mrs. Prouty for a while. And I remember Puppet Master, the big production, and the hotel, and several of the sketches that we did at Leone Meadows, Carmichael Youth Rally, Lodi City Youth Rally. I think we did the Gentle Healer so many times. It's like it can never be done in Lodi again, I don't think. But I remember it was fun. And there were several of you, Lizzie and Alicia and Mark and Star and Kristen and Victoria and Evan and Erica. And I remember in chapel when we practiced, Gideon was a part of our group too. We're making you honorary drama group. I mean, he was always cleaning the chapel while we had practice. And our practices would go late, but he'd still be in there and he'd be really quiet, like a stealth ninja with a duster cleaning the chapel while we had our time together. I remember going to some of your varsity games when you guys played like champions and you're out there giving it your all. And I was on the side watching the dedication and thinking, oh, if I could only be as skilled as Rachel or Deborah or Jasmine, or even Lexi out there on the volleyball court, on the football field, the basketball games, and particularly the Rio tournament. Now, some of you were wondering at that last, I think the Rio tournament about a year ago, who I was going to root for because you were going up against Redwood. And I had been at Redwood for 7.5 years. I don't know if there's anybody here from Redwood, but I was so smoking proud of you guys. You took out Rhoda, and I did root for you. Go Titans! And it was good. It was good, but you had victory. And it was really neat to be in that position of, okay, who do I choose? And I chose you, and here you chose me here today. I'm so glad I chose you back then. I remember starting up the International Club with Monica, and you were one of the first to start that club. There was a few of you after that community service day, and I have to tell you, Monica, the club couldn't have happened without you. And I think you had several of your class join you sooner or later. Let's see who else joined. I have a list of names. I don't want to leave anybody out here. But I know Evan and Erica, Sierra, Katie, and Ruthie all joined up with you for International Club and our fashion shows and all the different occasions. And it was a lot of fun. And so for those of you, I think your sister's out here somewhere. She's the new president, so we'll carry on. Community Service Day, cleaning up Star's Aikido Dojo. I remember that, and learning from your teacher some Aikido moves. I remember Friday night Bible studies with Samantha and Ryan and Dylan, and I think there was just a few of us for like a whole year, just like maybe 6 of us holding on every Friday night, but you guys were that little remnant group. I remember Kayla's tea party. I occasionally have been known to throw tea parties. It's a little different for a guy youth pastor, but I had some help with that. You know who you are. I've only actually thrown 2, and they're both for somebody named Kayla, one in the elementary school and one in high school. But I remember your tea party, and I think that's where I met Peggy and Mahari for the first time, because you had brought in a lot of your girlfriends over there, and that was special. I remember adventures with Doctor Who and all of you Whobians. You know who you are. You introduced me to the good doctor. And I remember the lyrics to the lost lyrics to Fish and Chips the Musical and Mailbox of the Opera with Josh and Victoria. It's a lot of fun memories. Friday night Cornerstone Cafes, there were countless. There were so many of them, but you guys were all there. I remember seeing always Daniela and Hank's smiling faces there, along with many of the rest of you. And I remember the Southern California preaching seminar trip taken with Blake and Zach and writing Goliath with you, late in the evening at Magic Mountain. That was fun. And finally, the superhero movie night, School Avengers. Cody and Jared and Zach and Blake and Evan and even Kevin were there. And I have to tell you, you know, those guys are no heroes compared to you. You are the heroes of today. You're real. They're just make-believe. You guys are the heroes. In fact, your whole class are heroes in my book. And you know, you've taught me a lot about the hero of all, and that's God. Being connected to you over the years, having a lot of old school memories, some current memories, not many of late with my job change, but having that connection with you has meant a lot to me. Like I said, I've seen God in you over the years, and you've helped me know more about him. And here you are in this setting for one last time. Well, I guess you'll be there tomorrow in another setting for a last time, but this is your weekend as a class, 2012. So many people were freaking out that 2012 was going to be the end of the world. But it's not, but it's the end of your high school world. So I guess that counts for something. I remember my grad weekend. Not really, but I remember there was 46 of us. I remember getting the course for being a 12-year student. I remember high honors. I remember I had big hair back then. It was the 80s, and before I turned 40 and went bald. But I remember big hair. I remember buying a new suit. And it was black and green, weird, you know, colors. I don't know if there was any white in it, probably not. But I remember there was this one particular song in the late 80s that circulated even to 1990 that everybody sang, it seemed like, at every single graduation. And I remember that very distinctly because it was sung there. And it went something like this, or at least the chorus did. Friends are friends forever, but the Lord's the Lord of them. And a friend will not say never, because the welcome will not end. Come on, sing with me. Though it's hard to let you go, in the Father's hands we know that a lifetime's not too long to live as friends. And you know, there's a lot of us here today that have been a part of your lifetime. I was just talking with Pastor Scott before coming up on stage with you, that he's known you for 9 years, many of you. I've known you for 5 years, and it's like time, it just goes. But you know, we're all connected to you, the people who love you, your family, your teachers, your pastors, your friends, the people who are here at English Oaks Church that come to church here and are blessed with you here today. I mean, we're all here for you. We've all been connected to you, and you're so very special to us. And I have to say that, you know, God created you in a very special way of who you are. You teens, you titans, class of 2012, and he loves you. In fact, let's shut our eyes for a moment. Let's shut our eyes for a moment. Take a deep breath as I read this text. You ready? Be still and know that I am God. God is here with you. As I reflected on your class text, you've chosen. You have fought the good fight. You have finished the race. You have kept the faith. Well done, Titans. But now that you've done all these three in academy, what are you going to do with God now? What are you going to do with God tomorrow? I ask a few of you, about three of you, what would be beneficial spiritually for your baccalaureate talk today? And these are the answers I got. One answer was, what? Another answer was, help us not to lose our faith, PT. Another answer was, we want to know how we can stay connected to God after we leave academy. So I spent some time thinking about, you know, how do you stay connected to God? We have the answers of, yes, we must pray, we must read our Bibles, go to church. Those are all good things. Remember, you learned that when you were a kid. I think I can do this right. Still, here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up, here's the people, right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I didn't do it right, but oh well, I'm uncoordinated. It's the thought that counts. But it's so true, though. When we come together with people who believe as we do, and we fellowship as you do here week after week, when you come together on your own, or with people who you care about and you really pray and you lift up your hearts to God, or when you just dive into his word, man, you're connected. But sometimes when we're apart from all that, sometimes it might be kind of hard. Maybe it's not always easy to connect every single day. I mean, take for instance, you guys, we connect with each other all the time, and you connect with each other. You're pros at it, right? You have your iPhones, you have your smartphones, you have your whatever you have, you know? You text, you phone, you Facebook, you tweet, you Skype, you Tango, you FaceTime, and you even talk in person sometimes. But you know how to stay connected with each other, right? We connect by listening, by seeing, by hearing, by speaking, by touching, by feeling, by doing. But how can you connect with someone who you can't do those things with? It's all on faith. Someone who you don't see. Oftentimes they say if you're separated in a relationship, either two things happen, right? When the cat's away, the mice will play. Or absence makes a heart grow fonder. It's that way with God. God's separated from us physically right now because we're in a world full of sin. But he has several promises here that he is with you in spirit. And sometimes when we're far from him, it's not like we can just go out and text him or MySpace him or Facebook poke him. But you know what? Even though we can't do those things, he promises that he's with us. And even though we can't always see him or hear him or feel him, and sometimes the world says, oh, there's it's so hard to be connected to God. Who is God? But God says here that that's not the case at all. In fact, in Revelation 3:20, he says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together. But sometimes we're so busy talking with each other and doing all the great things that we do that we often don't hear Christ knocking on our hearts. But you know what? That doesn't put God off at all. He's going to keep knocking, and he's going to keep coming because he loves you, because he gave his life for you. You are those precious people that he created so many years ago, and he's with you here today, and he is so very proud of you. Dressed up like in your pre-angel uniforms here, your robes of righteousness, and yeah, anyway. God is with you. And I'd like to share some promises from Scripture. I had like this whole, like, I don't know, 500 pages, well, not really, but I had some pages of all these Scriptures, and some people very close to me said, oh, you gotta narrow that down, they won't remember anything. I said, no, I must give them these, so I narrowed it down. But there are a few that I just have to share with you about being connected to God and being connected to each other, because I want you to have these. These are some of my favorites. Romans 8, there is nothing that can touch this. And there is nothing that can touch you when you claim this promise. Go something like this, selected verses from the chapter. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. We could stop there, but there's just two more verses there that I have to share. For I am convinced, Paul says, I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate you from the love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. How do you stay connected? Claim that promise, and don't let anything get in the way of being separated from Christ. And once you dive deeper into your relationship with Christ, you'll come to learn what many of us have learned through the trials in our lives, that God has a future for you. God has wonderful plans for each and every one of you. Now, I don't know what they are, but he does. He does, because he holds your future in the palm of his hands. And one of my favorite verses was claimed by the eighth grade the other night, but we're going to take it today. We're upperclassmen, right? Just kidding. But this is a great verse. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a future and hope. You will call upon me and go to pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. Amen. You know, it's all about really being connected to Jesus. Jesus, with his disciples, had one last meeting with them, kind of like this meeting that we're having together as a group. And it was in a garden. And Jesus was there in the evening. Where's that Kleenex here? Jesus was there with them, and they had a touching, real touching moment. See, Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to be ridiculed. He knew he was on his way. But he cared so much about his group, about his class, that he wanted to give them one last connection to hold on to after he was gone. He said to them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Unless you spend time with me. Unless you remember me. Because we're together, right? That's what Jesus is telling them. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And then he says this to them, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." He knew the despair they were going to go through upon his crucifixion, but he wanted them to be filled. He wanted their joy cup, their love cup, to be filled with him so much that they could not only get through that, but rejoice in his resurrection. He had that faith. He faced it with faith, and he wanted them to be tethered together with him. And he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, over the years, all of us, and me personally, have shared the love. We've seen it in how you are with your classmates, and how you are with your friends, and how you are with us as adults who are there for you, and all the different things that you've done together. And God loves you, and his love is in you. And these are the two most important things, really. You know, they're always after Jesus. They're always asking Jesus to be a guest speaker, and Jesus was teaching and preaching, and then they would even go to try to stump Jesus, right? All the bad guys, right? And they'd come after him, and they'd try to get him to trip up and everything. And one of them comes, this expert in the law, and he's challenging him because they think, oh, we can get Jesus on the law. He's all about love and eating and all these great things, but let's get him on the law, right? And so they come and they say, "Which is the greatest commandment?" And you see, the Jews regard the commandments as a whole to be the greatest. And so if Jesus picked the wrong one, they'd be like, oh, moated or busted, you know. But Jesus had the perfect answer, didn't he? Because Jesus' answer is motivated by love. And so Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." It's all about the heart. It's all about having God's law, his character on your heart. And when you love God, you're not gonna do anything to displease him. When you love each other, you're not going to do anything to harm each other, because it's all about the love for God and love for others, which I know you have, but that's one of the strongest, if not the most powerful ways to be connected to God. You see, the followers of Christ, they had the scriptures. They had the letters that Paul and Peter and John and Jude and James wrote. And they had the Old Testament that was written by the prophets and the scribes. But then the ones that were really, really connected to God and his son had Jesus. And they had his teachings, and they sat at his feet, and they listened, and they modeled their lives after Christ, and Christianity was born because they loved him in their hearts. I have a gift for you today, from my heart to yours, and I think somebody's going to help me. I think Miss Yulie's going to help me with this. I appreciate that, Miss Yulie. She's going to pass it out to you, and the thing that I like most about this gift is that it's you know, it's just special because it's the size of your heart. Now, you probably already have one of these. You probably have three or four of these at home. Maybe one might be collecting dust. You probably have an app for this on your phone. You probably don't even need this because you have your iPads and all your tech stuff. I know I have an app for the Bible on my phone, but I want to give you this Bible. My wife wrapped them, and they have little blue bows for the boys and little pink bows for the girls. And The boys' Bibles are black, the girls' Bibles are pink, and they're leathers or pleathers, so they will last a long time. But the thing, the reason I want to give this to you is because I'd like you to keep this. I'd like you to, you know, have it on you or keep it in your car. Or, you know, if you're old-fashioned and you want to put the iPod down and just kind of open it, flip through the pages and let the grace of God flow as you turn the pages. But the thing I like most about it is it's the size of your heart. And you have some pretty special hearts. May God always be in your heart. And when you read this, may you know that your heart is intertwined with the heart of God. And it's such a big heart. And there's room for all of you to just kind of climb in there and be held by God and to hold God. Because that's what being connected to life and eternal life is all about. It's not just about heaven. It's not just about the streets of gold. It's not just about the heavenly city. It's not just about not being in the lake of fire. It's not just about being there and exploring the universe. It's about being there with Jesus. And that's what I want for you. Out of anything that you could ever experience in your whole life, I want you to be with the biggest superhero of all, Jesus Christ. Now, there's one more thing I want to share with you. One more thought before we finish here today. I have so many that we could be here in a seminar, but I know you want to go to class night and maybe lunch and graduation, but there's one more thought I want to share with you today. And that is, in the last book of the Bible, in the last two chapters, there's this real beautiful place that John has seen, and he starts describing it. And it's heaven. And it's really special because Jesus is there. And John, I could just imagine him being there and to just picture it. Like if you were to look on the screens, he's being shown this wonderful thing. And he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the new earth had passed away. They're gone. And he said, he who sat on the throne says, behold, I make all things new. And this God that not only makes the place new, he makes you new. He makes me new. We're new people in him. Paul says we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're clothed with immortality. And that's going to be pretty cool because I need a change. You know, I'd like to be drop-dead gorgeous, like my wife would say. But you're going to be changed. You're going to be perfected. You're going to be in the image of which God has intended and in store for you. I want that for you. Not only that, he says, he showed me a river of water, of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and the Lamb. What a cool place to be. He said that there'll be people in there scattered across the sea of glass mingled with fire, the saints, and they'll be calling up, worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lord God Almighty. And they'll be there. I want you there. What's so cool, though, is in this middle of this area, on either side of this river of the was the tree of life. Imagine this big, huge tree. And on this tree, it said it bore fruit on the tree. And sure is better than any fruit that you and I have ever had. It says that there are 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves were for the healing of the nations. You know what it also says there? It also says that there's not going to be any more curse. There'll be no more sin. There'll be nothing ever to take this away from you. There'll be nothing ever to cause you pain or harm or sadness or ever to be a threat for you. We'll experience a lot of those things in this life. But in the next one to come with God, nothing's going to take that away from you. I want that for you. And it says that the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. God, what's so cool about this is that God is going to move the capital of the universe, a sin-free universe, to our former sinful, rebellious planet and reclaim it. I want you to be there. I want to see you there. I want to go up to that tree and, like, pick that fruit. We've had a lot of candy over the years with trivia and different things that we've done. I want the fruit for you. I want that fruit of which we can eat of and be perfected and be with God, with you. That's the reunion I personally am looking forward to because you deserve it. God died for you. He lives for you. He's claiming you. He loves you. He's there for you. Jesus himself, in his own words, says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you even until the end of the world. Even until the end of the age. And this age is coming. But so is Christ. How do you stay connected to God? Class of 2012, my friends, you stay connected to him through Jesus. You stay connected to him through love. You stay connected to him through your hearts. God bless you, each and every single one of you. God bless you and guide you. God always be with you. And know that not only do I love you, not only do they love you, but he loves you. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for this wonderful, wonderful group of individuals, this team, this family. Oh, they're so awesome because you made them that way. And as you recreate their hearts each and every day with you, as your spirit hovers over them, as you guide them, Lord God, on the throne, as you sustain them, help them to be connected to you. Help them to have that same friendship connection so that they will keep creating memories together, so that they will be in touch with one another because they don't want anyone to be left behind, because they are intertwined with each other's hearts in one way or another, and because they are intertwined with your heart. Right now, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ Almighty that you will preserve each one unto salvation. And that one day we will all have a graduation day as we go through the pearly gates. We would have graduated from imperfection and come into your perfection. But most of all, even if we were to be imperfect, we'd be with you. That's what I want for this class. That's what I want for every one of us. Thank you so much for giving them to me and to others here today for a time. We look forward to all the adventures and the great plans that you have in store for them, each and every one, because you love them. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for helping us be friends forever. Amen.
The class of 2012 would like to thank Pastor Tracy here for not only speaking for our class today, but for being a part of our lives. And if it weren't for influences like you, we wouldn't have the foundation to be able to keep our faith. So we'd like to thank you, and we'll be seeing you later. Big, big hugs.
Please bow your heads with me for prayer. Father God, in the quietness of this sanctuary with you here, we thank you for these young people. They're your children. You created them. You've looked after them to this point. And they aren't children anymore. They're young men and young women. I thank you for the privilege of sharing them with us, and the joy that we have enjoyed of watching them grow and learn and develop. And now as they finish their high school years and head off to college, I know they're excited and yet fearful at the same time, wondering, what does the future hold? And you have told us not to worry about that, because we know that there will be some good and there will be some bad. There'll be some happy times and some sad times, scary times. And yet, the assurance that you've given us is that you will never leave us or forsake us. You have plans for each one of them, plans to help them, not to harm them, plans for joy and success in the future as they depend on you. And just now, I consecrate them to you, asking that you will take their hearts and minds and train them to you. that you'll give them a heart that seeks your heart, that they will sense your love and your care for them and your invitation to spend eternity together. Bless each one in their life as they go their separate ways. Be with us as a church family. May we embrace them, pray for them, encourage them, support them. And soon when you come in the clouds of glory, may we look forward to heaven and to eternity together without the loss of one. And we thank you for making this all possible through Jesus our Savior. Bless each one of us in your presence today until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please bow your heads for the benediction. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for everything that you have done for us over the years. Thank you for all the people in our lives that supported us and helped us to where we are now. We thank you for Pastor Tracy as he spoke for us, and we ask you to please be with us as we do stay connected through you, through love, and your Son that they fight for us. We ask you to please be with us as we continue our walk in faith. In your name we pray, amen.